And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, saying, "Come and see."
Noise of Thunder Radio with Christian J. Pinto.
Okay, praise the Lord, you guys, and welcome. I'm Chris Pinto. This is Noise of Thunder Radio. Today on the show, we are going to talk about Elijah and the prophets of Baal. Elijah and the prophets of Baal. Really a picture, I believe, of what is going on in America, in the church, churches, and really throughout the Western world. There is a struggle. It's the struggle, the same struggle that Elijah saw in his day when he meets the prophets of Baal on top of Mount Carmel, and the people of Israel are there, and he says to them, "How long do you halt between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him, but if Baal, then follow him." So, of course, Elijah has his famous showdown with the prophets of Baal. And they call upon Baal, and of course Elijah says, "Well, whichever God answers by fire, let him be God. He's the true God." And so we all know the story. The priests of Baal, they're cutting themselves and they're crying out, jumping on the altar, and they are crying out to Baal, and of course there's no answer. And we read in verse 27 in 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 27, "And it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, 'Cry aloud, for he is a God. Either he is talking or he is pursuing, or he is in a journey, or peradventure he sleepeth and must be awaked.' And they cried aloud and cut themselves after their manner with knives and lancets till the blood gushed out upon them." That verse, that last verse there about them cutting themselves, that's always reminded me of this ritual that they have among the Muslims. They have an annual event called Asherah, which is a day of commemoration in Islam. The day of Asherah. You can look this up online if you've never seen it before. This is just a headline from the Daily Mail, where it says Shiite Muslim men cut their heads with swords as they take part in bloodletting mourning rituals to mark the holy day of Asherah. If you go look at photographs or watch video of this ceremony, I mean, it is a grisly ceremony where these guys cut their heads with swords and they get blood all over the place. I mean, it's gruesome, but it is a very real ceremony that they have. And it's one of the reasons I believe that Islam is a modern manifestation of ancient Baal worship. It probably not exactly the same as what they did, you know, the ancient Baal priests and so on, but with similarities. And of course, that's the Shiite Muslims. You have the Sunni and the Shia, and this is specifically Shiite Muslims. Apparently not all the Muslims do it, but many of them do, where they literally cut themselves with knives and they've got blood running down their faces, and it's just some bloody celebration that they have. But it has always reminded me of this description of the prophets of Baal. And then, of course, Elijah, we know, he has the sacrifice covered with water, and then he calls upon the Lord. In verse 37, he says, "Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice, and the wood and the stones and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces, and they said, The Lord, He is the God. The Lord, He is the God. So the purpose of Elijah's showdown with these false prophets of Baal was to declare that God, the God of Israel, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of the Bible, is the only true God. And that, I believe, is really the central argument that must be made by Christianity in America and throughout the world, that Christianity is the only true religion. The problem is that that is a politically incorrect message at this point in history, even though that is what our forefathers taught for centuries. That is what the people who founded and built this great country of ours taught all the way through the 19th century into the early 20th century. They openly declared that the pagan religions were false religions. In fact, you read that in James Madison's Memorial and Remonstrance. If you get that document, which you can find online, go down to point number 12. And he makes it very, very clear that Christianity is the only true religion, and he describes the pagan beliefs as false religions. That's the understanding that our country was founded upon. That is the reason why we did not waver or compromise as a country on certain areas of morality that were never compromised before, because God's law in the Bible was seen as the only true law. Only once we got through World War I, World War II, on the other side of World War II, all of that began to be questioned. And as we're going to show in two of our upcoming films, one on American Jesuits, but then the other on the tax-exempt foundations, that'll be a shorter project. We've got different titles for it. One title is The Reese Committee. That's what we're going to call it, The Reese Committee, because that's primarily what it's about. But the other title is Foundations of Treason. And I think I may go with the title Foundations of Treason. Why? Because it's about these tax-exempt foundations and how they laid the groundwork for the what we're watching now is the attempted overthrow of the United States of America, which I'm sure many of you are watching the headlines. You're looking at what's happening with the SVB banking crisis out there in California with Silicon Valley. And now there's all of this, you know, of course, many people are saying that this banking collapse is deliberate, that this whole thing has been engineered, not unlike the stock market crash of 1929. People have been warning about this for years and years, that they're trying to, that the socialists in our system are trying to willfully and deliberately sabotage our economy. Just like during COVID, when they forcibly shut down half the country, told people you're not essential, you have to stay home, you can't work, etc. And what that did economically to many people. Now, of course, is being reported that SVB, Silicon Valley Bank, that part of the problem was they had so much focus on their identity politics, the LGBT movement, that they weren't paying attention to the more important issues. In fact, now they're reporting that Barney Frank, who's a retired congressman, Democrat, obviously, author of the 2010 Dodd-Frank bill, sat on the board for Signature Bank, which collapsed in the wake of the Silicon Valley Bank SVB implosion. And you can find that article on Breitbart News. Well, Barney Frank, in 1987, publicly came out as a homosexual, an open homosexual. And he was considered and was apparently the first member of Congress to publicly and voluntarily come out and declare that he was gay. Now, this is where, honestly, the whole LGBT movement, we have to remember that there are people who are part of that community, and then there is its association with the infiltration of communism in the United States. And that is the part that we don't have enough people talking about. If you get the book, The Naked Communist by Cleon Skousen. Cleon Skousen, back in the 1960s, when he listed the communist goals for America, one of the communist goals for America was the normalization of homosexuality. So developing it as a political weapon to undermine and to sabotage America's cultural and political system. A lot of people have referred to it as a form of cultural Marxism. I believe that's true, but it's not just cultural. It is very, very political. Very political. And they're now that they've gone through the courts and they're arguing the so-called gay rights and the transgender rights. This is why we have all of these transgenders in our schools now. Now it's reported some transgender man, some guy dressed up like a woman, has just been arrested for abusing an infant. And you're just wondering, how in the world did somebody like this, literally a guy dressed up like a woman, is given a job around infants at a daycare? Now, of course, I believe you can relate all of this. All of this, and this is part of the reason why we made the film The Kinsey Syndrome years ago. Alfred Kinsey, to me, I would call Alfred Kinsey America's Balaam. We have these warnings about Balaam in the book of Revelation and at different points in the New Testament. Well, Balaam, as we know, was the Old Testament false prophet who cast a stumbling block before Israel by giving counsel to King Balak, who was the enemy king, on how to corrupt the children of Israel and to bring, because of course the king wanted Balaam to curse Israel. Well, every time Balaam went out to speak, God turned the curse into a blessing. And so Balaam could not curse Israel, so he gave counsel to the king, the enemy, for how to corrupt them, and to corrupt them through sexual immorality and idolatry. And that is exactly what has been going on in our country since the end of World War II. And the immorality movement, there's no question, the Kinsey reports, which have been seen as so influential, you go study human events and they list the top 10 most subversive books in modern history. Number 1, 2, and 3 are like Mein Kampf, the Communist Manifesto, and the sayings of Chairman Mao. Number 4 is the Kinsey reports, because they had such a transformative effect on our country that historians who have studied Kinsey have to divide American history into the pre-Kinsey and post-Kinsey eras. That our whole country changed, was turned upside down by the Kinsey reports, and then the sexual revolution, then the LGBT, or really the gay rights revolution. All of that turned everything upside down. Then at the same time, you have the mass importation of all of these pagan teachers, Swamis and Hindus and Buddhists and, of course, more and more Muslims, and importing the idea, you know, not just people who have different beliefs, but teachers who are teaching things that are completely contrary to Christianity and representing these alternative religions that were being promoted after World War II. In fact, there was a documentary called The Pagan Invasion. I think it was Jeremiah Films years ago, talking about all these pagan religions that were being flooded into America. And they were promoted by the Beatles, and different celebrities and so on got involved with them. And it was, hey, this is hip, this is cool, let's get involved in some paganism. Why do we have to just have Christianity? Let's have some different beliefs here. And all of that became part of this whole sex, drugs, and rock and roll movement. So what you have is just like in the Old Testament with Balaam, you have the importation of these various pagan beliefs combined with the promotion of sexually immoral behavior instigated among the common people. And this is what was normalized in the days of the prophet Elijah through the worship of Baal. And the priests of Baal had very clearly influenced the monarchy. King Ahab, Queen Jezebel were both worshiping Baal. They drove out the priests of the Lord, brought in these prophets of Baal. And really what they were doing, you know, replacing God with this false god Baal was a form of treason. And so this would have been why Elijah, when he has a showdown with him and the fire of God falls from heaven and the people declare the Lord, he is God, he is the God, meaning the only true God. Then Elijah says, take the prophets of Baal, let not one of them escape. And they took them down, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and slew them there. They were all taken and put to death for their treason against the God of Israel, much like what Moses does when they turn aside the people and they're worshiping the golden calf. And there were those who were put to death again for turning away from God and his authority. Treason is a capital crime. It is a capital offense. And unfortunately, what's happened in our country is things that any generation in our history prior to World War II would have called open acts of sedition and treason against the country have just been normalized through the media and through the schools and the colleges and so on, so that it's just as John Stormer says in the title of his book, none dare call it treason. None dare call it what it is. Treason against our republic. It's why I've come to believe that psychological warfare is the number one weapon of our enemy, because it's through the brainwashing and the indoctrination that people are simply not able to recognize what's happening. And all right, so here's what we're going to do. We are going to go to our commercial break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about this story. There is a new report from the Daily Caller about how the Red Cross is providing materials for illegal aliens. Red Cross packets show migrants where to cross the U.S. border. That's according to the Daily Caller News Foundation. And we're going to talk about that and the other parties, the other interested parties there, and what could be behind this. But we'll talk about all of that when we come back right after this.
Adullam Films presents a stunning new documentary, The True Christian History of America, exploring the Bible-based Christian origins of the early American view of freedom, tracing the principles of liberty back to England and the Great Reformation. For many years, our schools have taught that the founding of our republic was from the deists, or the Enlightenment in France. But is that truly the case? Did the Enlightenment first declare no taxation without representation or trial by jury? Were they the champions of freedom of speech or of the press or the right to bear arms? And why did Samuel Adams declare that the reign of political Protestantism would commence just before signing the Declaration of Independence? Filmed on location in both the United States and Europe, The True Christian History of America is now available at adullamfilms.com. That's adullamfilms.com. now available at noiseofthunderradio.com. That's noiseofthunderradio.com.
Adullam Films presents an exciting new documentary, Bridge to Babylon, part three in an award-winning series on the untold history of the Bible. Dr. Jack Moorman calls it a masterful presentation of what is the single most important issue facing Christians today, the defense of the Bible as the Word of God. Why was the Bible changed in 1881? Why have so many churches abandoned biblical inerrancy? And what direction are scholars taking the scriptures today? Learn the truth in Bridge to Babylon, the sequel to A Lamp in the Dark and Tares Among the Wheat. Bridge to Babylon is now available at noiseofthunderradio.com. That's noiseofthunderradio.com.
Noise of Thunder Radio.
Okay, and we are back. Praise the Lord, you guys. I'm Chris Pinto. This is Noise of Thunder Radio. Thanks for staying with the show today. For those of you who may be listening through some other website, maybe you're listening to us on Apple iTunes, maybe on SoundCloud, we want you to know we do have our own website at noiseofthunderradio.com. That's noiseofthunderradio.com. You can find a lot of shows archived there. We've also been archiving shows on SoundCloud. You can go to our SoundCloud page and type in Chris Pinto and you will find our list of shows there. But if you go to noiseofthunderradio.com, you can not only listen to the shows, you can listen to a lot more shows. We've got shows going back several months. And then we've also got our collection of documentaries that are listed there and other resources that you can check out. You can also go to our film website at adullamfilms.com, A-D-U-L-L-A-M films.com, and check out the documentaries that we've produced. We are working on several new projects. The next one to be released is American Jesuits, A History of Jesuitism in the United States. We've been working on the editing for that film. I'm telling you guys, this is going to be very, very powerful because this is a missing link. Whenever people are talking about globalism, whether it's in the mainstream or in what I would call the kind of conspiracy theorist mainstream, whether you're on InfoWars or Breitbart or Daily Caller or any of these conservative, patriotic websites and news outlets that are out there. The Rare Foundation, that's another one. Gateway Pundit, that's another one. There's a lot of them that are out there. Michael Savage, and they've all got their own take on what's happening. But the one thing that virtually none of them will cover or has covered with any depth is the influence of the Counter-Reformation over what's happening and the influence of the Jesuit order over what's happening in particular. And that brings us to the story about the Red Cross, including these packets to show migrants where to cross the U.S. border. Now, you have to go online. You have to look at this story. I mean, we're not talking about a small amount of information here. We're talking about a very, very detailed map that they are being given. Okay? And I'm going to read a few lines here from the Daily Caller. It says, quote, the organization is not only the organization, meaning the Red Cross. Well, let me read this. All right, hold on. Quote, the American Red Cross sits on the board of the Federal Emergency Management Agency, FEMA, their food and shelter program, and is tasked with allocating funding to non-governmental groups supporting the illegal migrants. The FEMA program received $350 million from the Department of Homeland Security in February. The American Red Cross is tasked, along with other NGOs, with allocating some of those funds to support migrants after they've crossed the southern border. The organization is not only facilitating help for illegal migrants in the U.S., but appears to be helping migrants make their journeys far south of the border. U.S. Customs and Border Protection has recorded a record surge in illegal migration at the southern border, where federal authorities encountered more than 2.3 million migrants in fiscal year 2022. Now, we have to remember something, folks. This is not just people coming into our country. And of course, they're going to present, you know, if CNN and the mainstream talk about this, they're just presenting the people who look like families that are coming into the country. They're not usually focusing on the drug dealers and the gang members and the fact that they are bringing in massive amounts of fentanyl. This has been reported over and over and over again. The fentanyl is just poison. It's pure poison. And it is reported that the fentanyl poisoning is killing over 100,000 U.S. citizens a year. That was reported in 2022. Over 100,000. And I'm sure the numbers vary from one year to the next. But we have to think about this. If you had, if Mexico were firing mustard gas bombs over our border and the poison gas was going into our cities and killed 100,000 people a year, that would be seen as an act of war. That would be seen as, you know, something worse than the Cuban Missile Crisis, of course. Nobody got killed because of the Cuban Missile Crisis. But here we have hundreds of thousands. I mean, when you factor up the number of U.S. citizens that have been killed just over the last 20 years in illegal immigration, you're talking about hundreds of thousands of U.S. citizens who have died as a direct result of illegal immigration into our country. And remember, over 100,000 just in the year 2022. So you could do an estimate, just sort of guess. Well, add another 19 years of that, of these deaths, and maybe it wasn't 100,000 every single year, but there's still a lot of people who have lost their lives, who have been raped, robbed, murdered, and especially killed through the illegal drug trade into our country. And with fentanyl, people are saying the fentanyl poisoning is not, this is murder. It's murder because whoever it is that's sending this fentanyl into our country, and there are some people who blame China for this in part, they're sending it in. It's fentanyl that is made to look like something else, some other type of drug. And when people take it, they realize too late it's a poison and it kills them. So this is a very, very, I mean, this is an act of war against our country. And yet our government is not responding to it. Our government is not taking the precautions and protecting the American people. Instead, we've got the Red Cross handing out these flyers, these manuals, showing the illegals how to get in here and trying to help them, rather than protect the American people, which is what all of our institutions should be doing. Okay, now there are, what's happening with the Red Cross is a parallel of one of the books that we've talked about on the show before, American Democracy and the Vatican by Dr. Stephen Mumford. Dr. Mumford, he's the one who documents how the OSS, which became the CIA, is really under Vatican control, or at least Vatican influence, from the days of Wild Bill Donovan, who was the founder of the OSS, and talks about how Donovan appeared at the Vatican late in life to receive the Vatican's highest honor for a lifetime of service to the papacy. Now, it's been well known that Donovan was a Knight of Malta, a high-ranking Knight of Malta. We now have documentation from a source that is connected to the intelligence community, which we are going to reveal in our new film, that Donovan was also a Jesuit and that he was known as being a ruthless Jesuit, and that that's why his colleagues argue that he was a very capable intelligence man. But we're going to be talking about that in the new film. Now, here's the story. Now, just to tie all of this in with the Red Cross connection, because what Dr. Mumford talks about in his book, and remember, this book was published back during the Reagan era, American Democracy in the Vatican. He says the reason that nothing is done about illegal immigration is because of the Vatican's involvement in American politics. And he talks about how programs are developed and they're designed to fail from the beginning because they don't want the problem solved. And he talks about in the book how materials are given out to the people in Mexico, telling them where to go, how to get into the country, who to call once they get in. And there's this whole network through the Catholic churches helping the illegals get into our country and then helping them get established once they're here. Now we're seeing that the Red Cross is involved. Well, what's the Vatican's connection with the Red Cross? Here's an article that is an old article from The Guardian, and you can find it online. And the headline from this old article says, quote, Red Cross and Vatican helped thousands of Nazis to escape. The Red Cross and the Vatican helped thousands of Nazis to escape. Now, most people who research the Vatican rat lines, which is the rat lines that were developed after World War II to help Nazis get out of Europe so they could avoid prosecution. Most people know that the Vatican worked with the OSS, Office of Strategic Services, and MI6 over in England. This is well documented. I've never heard anybody, however, associate the Red Cross specifically with the Vatican helping thousands of Nazis to escape. So here's what, let me just read some of this article here from The Guardian. It says, quote, research shows how travel documents ended up in hands of the likes of Adolf Eichmann, Joseph Mengele, and Klaus Barbie in the post-war chaos. It says, quote, the Red Cross and the Vatican both helped thousands of Nazi war criminals and collaborators to escape after the Second World War, according to a book that pulls together evidence from unpublished documents. The Red Cross has previously acknowledged that its efforts to help refugees were used by Nazis because administrators were overwhelmed, but the research suggests the numbers were much higher than thought. Gerald Steinecker, a research fellow at Harvard University, was given access to thousands of internal documents in the archives of the International Committee of the Red Cross. The documents include Red Cross travel documents issued mistakenly to Nazis in the post-war chaos. They throw light on how and why mass murderers such as Adolf Eichmann, Joseph Mengele, and Klaus Barbie, and thousands of others evaded capture by the Allies. By comparing lists of wanted war criminals to travel documents, Steinecker says Britain and Canada alone inadvertently, now they're saying it was inadvertent, in other words, they didn't really mean to do it. Oops, it's an accident. That seems to be what they're implying here. Inadvertently took in around 8,000 former Waffen USS members in 1947, many on the basis of valid documents issued mistakenly. And all of this they're covering from a book written by Steinecker, and the book is called Nazis on the Run, How Hitler's Henchmen Fled Justice. Very, very interesting. So this relationship between the Vatican and the Red Cross goes back to World War II. Well, now it makes all the sense in the world that the Vatican would be working through the American Red Cross to help smuggle millions of these illegal aliens into our country. Now, I wanted to play this audio clip. This is from my interview this past, well, actually last summer, 2022, when I was doing the interviews and interviewed Dr. Ronald Cook. I'm going to play you just a short clip on what he said about the illegal immigration that is happening in our country. Here it is. Listen.
So they've gone away more from their liberation theology type today and sending most of the people up here to the United States by the thousands. See, there's 10,000 on their way.
They're responsible for the mass immigration?
Oh, I think so. And Joe Biden believes that's why he does nothing. He's a good Romanist from Ireland, from the south of Ireland. I mean, his people are. So he doesn't like Britain and he doesn't like Protestantism. So he's not going to stop anybody because 99% of them are from Romanism. They're all through Latin America, no matter what country they come from. They said a lot of these are from Venezuela, a lot of them from El Salvador, Nicaragua, wherever. They're all, and then 40 years on from the revolution in Nicaragua, was all the communists, was all the remarks. No, they're all Roman Catholics there.
Okay, so that is the first part of what Dr. Cook said. This is, and now you're going to hear the second part where he describes what he believes is actually going on, and he is going to introduce us to the term irredentism. Irredentism, which is the taking over of another country by population control. It's basically a word that, in my thinking, is the same as what the Muslims do with their hijra, which is immigration jihad, where they move a bunch of Muslims into your country and eventually take over through greater numbers. But irredentism, this is what Dr. Cook believes Rome is doing through illegal immigration into the United States. Listen.
But he used to say, because I don't know how we got to talk, teach me another word or something. So I said, irredentism. He said, what is that? Well, I said, irredentism, that's the taking over of another country, not by military conflict, but by population control. So irredentism is certainly one of the marks of Romanism today. Irredentism started out when Italy was becoming a nation. And they were fighting the papal states there, and the Pope was trying to hold on to the papal states. But Garibaldi and his leaders, they were all trying to unify. And so the way they did it then, not just by fighting, but to get the Austrians out that were kind of governing that part of Italy, they flooded many, many Italians into that so that they overcame the Austrians, not by military force, but just by the present of so many Italians. So they took the Italian for that is irredenta. So it comes over into English as irredentism. And that's another ploy of Rome. Irredentism is part of Roman Catholic, I believe, teaching to take over the world. You flood in. And that's what we've had an Ulster there. They've come up from the south of Ireland. So now the political thing is, because Paisley used to say, let's not governed by the bullet, that's governed by the ballot. Well, they're now governing by the ballot because they've got more and more Catholics in there that can vote in Roman Catholics, so they don't need the bullet anymore. So the more you flood in, you take over all the branches of government simply by the numbers. So how do you get elected? Well, you got enough people flooded in there that's going to vote for you, and they'll vote for you.
All right, so irredentism, a new word for me anyway, probably for many of you as well. But this is what Rome is engaging in, the slow, steady takeover of the United States through mass immigration and, in particular, illegal immigration. You look at the number of illegals they have brought in. They have brought in millions just here in the past few years. And of course, the Democrats are then giving them the right to vote and encouraging them voting in our system. This gives them political power over the United States of America. And these open border policies and philosophies and so on all fit in line with this kind of thinking. Now, what many people don't realize is that many of the Mexicans who are jumping our border are doing so with this sense of indignation because they argue that the land of Texas and California and certain other territories in between, that land should belong to Mexico. That's what they're arguing. This all goes back to the fight at the Alamo and the Texas Revolution and so on, all of which we don't have time to get into today. However, that history has everything to do with what is going on in our country right now with illegal immigration. And it is not the way it's being portrayed in mainstream media. As I've said before, the Mexicans, many of them that are coming in with this mentality that they've gotten from these Latin American Jesuits, this idea of reconquest, the reconquista, just like in Spain. The reconquista from the Muslims. The Muslims invaded Spain in the Middle Ages, and they kept about half of it for 700 years. Then they were finally driven out by the Spanish Catholics. Well, they are framing the understanding of the situation in our western part of the country, in California and Texas and so on, as effectively being the same thing, that Mexicans need to persevere. They need to keep flooding into America. They need to keep getting involved in activism, listening to the Catholic priests, listening to the Jesuits and so on, and they're going to reconquer these territories eventually. That is what's going on. In fact, if you just go look up, just type in Reconquista, Reconquista, Mexico. Reconquista, Mexico. Reconquest. Here's what it says. Here's an internet definition. The Reconquista is a term to describe an irredentist vision. They actually use that word. An irredentist vision by different individuals, groups, and or nations that the southwestern United States should be politically or culturally returned to Mexico. Such opinions are often formed on the basis that those territories were claimed by Spain for centuries and then by Mexico from 1821 until they were ceded to the United States during the Texas annexation, 1845, and the Mexican cession of 1848 because of the Mexican-American War. That is what's going on. That is the real issue. What's happening is an ongoing war. It's an ongoing war. They're basically waging war against America to reclaim these territories. But you see, because there's no official declaration of war, the American people are not necessarily seeing it that way. I think more and more people are waking up to the fact that our country is at war, but it's kind of a cold war, a stealth war. There are forces at war against us. But the American people, most Americans going about their daily lives, don't quite see it that way, because the arguments are being framed in a different direction. But you can find this even at Harvard University. Last year, 2022, they had, now this is at the David Rockefeller Center for Latin American Studies. David Rockefeller Foundation is a communist organization. They've been working for the communist overthrow of the United States for more than 100 years. Okay. And the headline here, Harvard University, quote, Mexico seminar, La Reconquista, indigenous migrants and their new geographies of mestizaje in the U.S. So they have an event discussing the tens of thousands of indigenous peoples from Latin America who have migrated to the United States since 1994. And then it goes on from there. Reconquista. That's what they call it. The Mexican Reconquista. You have the Open Borders. Openborders.info. Open Borders, the case. Meaning that they're making the case for open borders. And they basically have the same definition. Reconquista is a term used for the belief held by some Mexicans or people of Mexican origin that the southwestern United States should legitimately belong to Mexico. And the movement of Mexicans across the southern U.S. border is a step toward the reconquest of this area. Then they do the reference to Wikipedia, which is what I just read here a minute ago. Now, Wikipedia, whatever you think of Wikipedia, Wikipedia is a liberal information source. So they're giving the liberal definition of Reconquista. Then here's what the openborders.info website says. Quote, restrictionists. That would be if you actually believe in border laws. Restrictionists have used claims of the prevalence or incidence of Reconquista to argue that the continued arrival of Mexicans in the United States will lead to foreign control and loss of sovereignty. Restrictionists also point to what they perceive as high and growing interference by the Mexican government and embassy in U.S. laws on the grounds that these laws affect Mexicans or people of Mexican origin. And then they talk about, well, then they list other articles. Restrictionist writings. If you believe that illegal immigration is wrong, you are a restrictionist. That is the terminology that they employ. So you have restrictionists, and then you have open borders advocates. There's no question, folks. This is a warfare. They're basically claiming that this is the continuation of the Mexican-American War. Now, we all know that they're not coming across the border because they're looking for land. They have plenty of land down in Mexico. They're jumping the border because of what has been done with the land here in the United States of America, that the American way of life, by the grace of God, has produced a more successful, lawful, orderly environment, as opposed to Mexico, which is largely based upon a lawless view. I mean, one of the things that we're going to be talking about in this upcoming film is the comments made by Abraham Lincoln and Charles Chinique, the former Catholic priest who became a Protestant, a Presbyterian. What Chinique said about, and what Lincoln said about the situation in Mexico, how Rome had really ruined Mexico, or the Jesuits had, through their manipulations. And that is something I have to admit, I am reviewing that history. That's part of the research that's going into this new documentary, because there are these very interesting comments made by Abraham Lincoln and by Chinique. But the references to Spain having conquered Mexico through Cortes. Remember, Ignatius Loyola, the founder of the Jesuit order, was a Spaniard. He was from Spain. And so there is this Spanish connection with the Jesuits, which is why Latin American Jesuitism, I think, is so significant. And the fact that they have Arturo Sosa, who is a Latin American, and the current Pope from Argentina, Pope Francis, is also a Latin American. So all of this plays into what is going on as they're bringing in all of these Latin American invaders. And that's what they are. They're invaders. There's no question. They are coming in just like the Ammonites, when the Ammonites challenged Jephthah in the Old Testament. And they said to Jephthah and the children of Israel, "You took our land, and we've come to take it back." That is effectively what is going on in our country today. And we could take it a step further. We could talk about what happened when Israel was subjugated by Sisera and by the Canaanite kings. Think about it. What would the conflict of the Canaanite kings have been against Israel? It would have been, hey, this is our land. They were the Canaanites. They lived in that land for centuries before Israel ever showed up. God had given the land to Israel. God allowed Israel to conquer most of the land, but not quite all of it, because Israel would not fully and completely obey God. So in the book of Judges, the scripture specifically says God left certain tribes of the Canaanites there to test Israel, whether or not they would obey the Lord. Okay? And so that is, and that's what they're dealing with constantly. They're constantly fighting. When they're fighting against the people, the Amalekites, for example. When they fight the Amalekites, they were the people who were there of old, from ancient times. That's what the scripture says when David is battling them. So I believe the conditions that are going on in our country are very similar to what we read about in the Bible about ancient Israel. Very, very similar. And look at all the arguing and fighting and debating that goes on about the land of Israel. That's why we have to remember that ultimately no man can receive anything unless it comes to him from God, unless it comes to him from heaven. But the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away, as the Bible says. So what does David say to Solomon as David's on his deathbed and Solomon is becoming the new king? David says, "My son Solomon, seek for and keep all the commandments of the Lord your God, so that you may dwell in this good land and leave it as an inheritance for your children after you forever." That's the key to preserving our place in America. That's the key, is to seek for and to keep the commandments of the Lord our God. Because a nation that will not serve the Lord ultimately will perish one way or the other. That's what the scripture warns us. So there's no future apart from Christ. There's no future apart from faith and obedience toward God for anyone. So that is, so I believe these things are happening. Yes, they're political and people get all up in arms and so on. And to a certain extent, we have a right to be concerned. However, we've got to recognize that national repentance is what's needed. We as a country need to be compelling our fellow Americans to turn toward the Lord, because if we fear the Lord, his promise is he will deliver us from the hands of all our enemies, one way or another. All right, that is going to do it for us today. We are going to stop it there. That is our show, but we will be back next time as the Lord leads us. Until then, God bless you guys. I'm Chris Pinto, and you've been listening to Noise of Thunder Radio.